Fred Film Radio, Galway Film Flaw, Ireland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 29th Galway Film Flaw, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Emo Reynolds, who is presenting, well, who screened her film, The Farthest, here at the festival. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So the first question is kind of the simple question, I guess. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about the film and what it's about so that they know what we're going to be discussing?
So the film is basically about the Voyager spacecraft, which was launched in 1977 on a mission to explore all the outer planets of the solar system, which had never really been explored before, and has recently become the first human-made object to enter interstellar space. So that's one thread of what the film is about, all about the Voyager spacecraft, its discoveries at all the planets, and it's told first-hand through all the engineers and designers that designed, built, and flew it. Then it's also about the story of the Golden Record, which was put together by astronomer Carl Sagan, who wrote Contact and famous Cosmos series. And it's basically attached to the Voyager spacecraft, and it contains music and images and sights and sounds of Earth and greetings of Earth, as an attempt to communicate with extraterrestrial life forms should the record ever be discovered. So it's kind of a mind game about how would we present ourselves to aliens. And then the third thing the film is about is kind of like the cosmic questions that are kicked up by those by the contemplation of space and by exploration of space, and about discussions around, are we alone? What's out there? Will aliens ever find us? How will it all end? So the film is basically a kind of a journey between those three ideas.
Well, it's a fascinating film. I watched it yesterday and I really enjoyed it. So we're going to try and talk about as many things as possible about it. But the first kind of question I'd like to ask you is, where are you interested in space and all these questions that you mentioned?
Yeah, I have a massive love of space since I was a child. I wanted to be an astronaut. So, you know, I kind of gave up being the hopes of being an astronaut, partly because I was always car sick and my father said, I don't think you're going to make a great astronaut. And mostly, and partly as well, because I joined the film school, the film society in my school when I was 15, and kind of discovered film as an art form that potentially could change the world. So yeah. Astronaut was out, film was in, and this is a film that kind of combines the two loves, both of my great loves.
And I always look at film as another means of travel, so that's very interesting too. But okay, so first of all, yeah, another thing that I'd like to ask you as well, can you tell me about the origins of the documentary and how you were approached with the idea, maybe? Or
very aware of Voyager right through the 80s. As I said, great love of space, and used to watch Sir Patrick Moore's The Sky at Night all the time. And they did an article, a program about Uranus, Voyager being the first spacecraft ever. And in fact, no spacecraft has ever been back there since. Uranus is a planet that's nearly 2 billion miles away. Yeah. Voyager took the first close-up images ever. So I remember that in my childhood, being like really dazzled by that humankind could do that. So always aware of Voyager. Then in discussions after my last film, Here Was Cuba, which was about a completely different subject, about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Thank you.
Producer John Murray and I were discussing other films we would like to make, and Voyager came up. Both of us a bit obsessed with Voyager, a bit obsessed with space. So we started talking about how we might pitch that film, and around about that time, Voyager became, as I said, the first human-made object to leave the solar system and achieve something that nothing we've ever built has ever done before. So it was kind of back in the news, and it was a great moment that we might be able to make it.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of interest in it very quickly, including the Irish Film Board, who came on board immediately and said, this is going to be a great, you know, a great, it's never been made as a feature film before, amazingly. So we were just delighted to take the opportunity.
And there's also some excellent contributors in the documentary. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the figures?
Yeah, the film is told in the first-hand personal testimonies of, as I said, the engineers and scientists who built this craft, who dreamed it up, who basically sat down around the tables and thought, how could we do this in 1977, send this rudimentary craft out into the universe, explore all these amazing planets so far away, and invent something that could live basically forever. It's going to circle the Milky Way galaxy for all time, probably long after humanity is but a distant memory. So
we
went off, Claire Strong, my other producer, and I went off trying to find the great cast of characters that could tell this story. So there's a lot of people who were involved in this mission from the start, but we were looking in particular for, you know, the people who would want to communicate the human adventure, the human side of the story, who would want to not just talk in scientific jargon, but would want to just basically let you in and tell you how it felt.
Exactly. But of course, you know, you can't only make a documentary with talking head interviews. Wonderful cinematography in the film, wonderful images to accompany the words of these contributors, but also just to illustrate the time of, and the period. And can you tell us a little bit about that, the cinematography and the work that you...
Yeah, the beautiful cinematography by our Irish cinematographer, Kate McCulloch, who's a real genius, you know, an amazing eye. I think she could point the camera anywhere and I would just think it was a work of art. I think she just has real extraordinary individual taste. But not just her, we had a wonderful production designer, Joe Fallover, wonderful CGI designer, Ian Benny Kenny, and wonderful editor, Tony Cranston. And all of us together, you know, we came together in an attempt to try to find a visual language that would support this story. Because how are you going to tell this story, a 40-year story where most of the action takes place in outer space and you don't have any footage for it?
Yeah.
We needed to find, you know, a visual palette that would do that. And I kept talking about, you know, that sometimes you need to go very, very far away in order to see yourself up close, you know, and that's what the story of Voyager is about, that it gives us a new perspective on humanity. So the visual style was born out of those ideas. Yeah. So we use a lot of close-ups, a lot of texture, a lot of detail, in order, and it's a very, very poetic film.
Poetic, yeah, that's the right word. And of course, on top of that, there's a lot of archive footage, fascinating archive footage too.
Yeah, we had you know, a major job on archive, wonderful archive researcher, Aoife Carey, who basically dug into NASA and JPL's archives, thousands of hours of footage,
No joke. thousands of hours.
Yeah, and her and the editor, Tony, having to find their way through it to see, you know, not only the great footage maybe that had never been seen before, you're always dreaming of that, but also, you know, to find an individual fresh way to tell this story. Yeah. So we were looking for, you know, archive that would contain the characters in the film who are now maybe in their 60s and 70s, but at the time were maybe in their early 20s who were dreaming up this dream. So we found a great line through the film where all those characters that we have in the film now are young men and women in the archive and are letting you in on the journey as it unfolds. So it becomes a kind of an interesting reflection on time as well, you know, that we are the same person over time, but change.
Oh, I'm reading Tolstoy at the moment, so yeah, that's certainly something that I've been thinking about lately. Yeah. But that's just a side note. Another thing that I wanted to kind of highlight is I thought the use of music was very clever. For one reason in particular, we don't hear as much about space travel nowadays as we probably should. I don't understand why that is, but do you also think that back then, back when Voyager was launched, it was a different time for space travel? It was like treated differently. It was kind of something that excited people in a way.
Yeah, and they talk about in the interviews that it was a very spacey decade, you know? Yeah, they all, at that time, you know, humankind had only been on the moon less than 10 years. So it was a real feeling of opportunity and possibility. And so absolutely, I think you can see it in the music in the film. There was a real kind of spacey, dreamy feel to the whole thing. So I think we still have that excitement now. It's just in a different way. You know, we don't send manned missions, although they're talking about putting humans on Mars, but tragically it'd be probably a one-way trip, you know. So it's all robotic missions now and the search for life maybe on moons around Jupiter and Saturn, so there's a different excitement.
These are questions well worth asking. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Once again, I'd like to remind our listeners that your film is called The Farthest, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.